The Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
You ready to go?
Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Rick Metzger will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Today, our own Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an evening prayer, actually. Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us now, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and shine within the people here and everywhere. Amen.
Thank you, Senator Nelson, for the invocation. Thank you, Senator Rick Metzger, for leading us in the pledge. We're under courtesies. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have for my district today in the balcony 22 fifth graders from Seven Peaks Elementary School and 9 chaperones. Must be a bit of a rowdy group, I think, 9 chaperones. But anyway, I ask that you extend courtesies to them.
Thank you. To the students, and chaperones from seven peaks. We're very pleased you could be here today. It's an honor and a privilege. Glad you came over to see us. It's your state capital. Hope you have a great day, and hope you'll come back and see us again. Thank you very much for being here. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each of the students and each of the chaperones. Are there any further courtesies before I move on? Remonstrances. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Oregon's economy, its children and families, and crime victims pay a high price for untreated addiction to drugs and alcohol. In 2006, we paid almost $6 billion, and these direct costs include lost earnings by users and crime victims, property damage, avoidable health care and public services, including law enforcement, criminal justice, and welfare programs. Oregonians understand this because they live this every day. They're trying to run businesses with an addicted workforce. They are the victims of substance abuse-related crime, and they watch their own loved ones struggle with addiction. When asked, a substantial majority of Oregonians are in favor of increasing the beer tax to provide addiction prevention and treatment services to those who need it. And Oregonians have supported a beer tax. Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
President.
Oregonians
have supported a beer tax increase consistently for at least the last 12 years, so let's get it done for them this session.
Thank you. Are there further remonstrances? Message from the House.
Mr. President, we're going to pass Senate Bill 34 and House Bill 2001.
Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees, in accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 107. Was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and so ordered. Reports from special committees. Special order of business. The clerk will read the resolution.
House Concurrent Resolution 7, in memoriam Marie Alice Ford, 1935-2008.
I will now recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici to take up this resolution, my fellow senators, honoring Mary Alice Ford. Thank you. Recognize Senator Bonamici, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Colleagues, it's with a combination of great honor and profound sadness that I rise today in support of House Concurrent Resolution 7 to honor and remember former Representative Mary Alice Ford. Honor her because she did so much for her community, state, and nation, and sadness because we all feel the loss from her passing. And before I make my remarks, I want to introduce Mary Alice's friends and family who are here with us today. Her son, Tom Ford, who's over at Senator Carter's desk. Her daughter, Sherilyn Lawson, who is here at Senator Hass's desk. Her grandson, Taylor Lawson, who's in sixth grade at the Arts and Communication Magnet Academy in Beaverton, goes to school with my daughter, and Taylor is sitting at my desk today. Diana Ward, who's at Senator Monroe's desk. Diana worked as Mary Alice's legislative aide for many, many years, spent a lot of time in this building. Nellie Fox Edwards, Mary Alice's close friend for many years, who's sitting with Senator Rosenbaum. Joanna Wauer, who was Mary Alice's caregiver, is at Senator Burdick's desk. And then also somewhere nearby we have Mary Alice's friends Lynn Ironside and Jane Netboy. I believe they're up in the gallery. So I wanted to acknowledge them, and I'm so glad that they're here with us today for this important time. The resolution before you today, colleagues, speaks a lot about Mary Alice's accomplishments in the community, in the legislature, in the state, and in the nation. Mary Alice started her political career as a secretary for the President Pro Tem in the Idaho Senate. She served eight sessions, colleagues, in the House of Representatives, starting in 1981. She won numerous awards, distinguished herself as a leader on issues involving human services, seniors, and mental illness. Now, I'm a longtime resident of Washington County, and I had heard of Mary Alice, and I knew about her reputation as a committed legislator who knew how to get things done by working across the aisle. And I first met her, and I believe, Mr. President, that many of you knew her longer than I did, but I had the pleasure of meeting her during 2006 when I was first running for the House of Representatives. And I got to talk with her. You may know that there weren't a lot of women in the Washington County delegation, so it was an honor to meet a woman who had served for so long. She talked to me about what an awesome responsibility is given to us as legislators. And she was accessible, she was kind, she was encouraging. And that meant a lot to me. I was running as a Democrat, was meeting with somebody who was Republican, had served as a Republican, and to know that her encouragement to me, it said so much about who she was, that she was mentoring me and being encouraging, it meant a lot. And I want to say that we met shortly before she suffered her first stroke. And I went to visit her in the convalescent center, and I really got to see what a truly remarkable woman she was, because I walked in and there she was, sitting in her wheelchair at the lunch table, engaged in a conversation with all the other patients, teaching them about state government. And I think that said a lot about who Mary Alice was and what was on her mind. And I for many years have been a member and participant in the Washington County Public Affairs Forum, which Mary Alice chaired for several years, and had the opportunity to see and visit with her many times between the first stroke and her passing last Thanksgiving. Typically, we'd talk about government or politics or whatever was the topic of the day at the forum. And Tom, Mary Alice's son, who's sitting with Senator Carter, was also involved in the forum, and he would always be there with Mary Alice, caring for her, and I could tell what a close relationship they had and how much her family meant to her. It was obvious to me and, of course, to others that she valued her family tremendously, and it means a lot that they're here today. And I believe, Mr. President and colleagues, that those values really did carry across in the work that she did in the community and nationally. And I want to point out that there's a lot of information about her in the resolution itself. But her main focus was in human services and human resources. And I want to point out that she was recognized in 1984. She was appointed by then-President Ronald Reagan to an agency responsible for the handicapped accessibility laws for the nation, and she later chaired that organization. She traveled to South Africa, Nicaragua, England, where their governments invited her to share her insight into elections and health care. She really did a tremendous amount of work, not only, as I said, Mr. President and colleagues, but in the nation and the community as well as in this building. At Mary Alice's memorial service in early January, I listened to so many tender stories about her life and accomplishments. I got to meet her other son, John, who lives in California, and I spoke with Sherilyn, and I realized that previously I'd actually met Sherilyn in another context, because Sherilyn's in theater and my daughter's in theater, and they'd actually been in a production together, and it was one of those small world stories. But what it really made me realize was that there was so much more that I could have talked about and wish I would have talked about with my friend and role model, Mary Alice Ford. Colleagues, I encourage you to support this concurrent resolution so we can join together and acknowledge the contributions of this remarkable woman. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Recognized Senator Margaret Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd be remiss if I didn't say anything about my dear friend, Mary Alice Ford. I want the women on this floor to know there was no greater feminist than Mary Alice Ford. Comparable worth and all of those issues was not a Democrat or a Republican woman's issue. Mary Alice Ford taught us much. And I'm telling you, you messed with the budget around people, around seniors and people with disabilities. You had to see Mary Alice Ford. She didn't care who was in power, Democrat or Republican. She was in your face about those issues. And poor little Tom, he was dragged everywhere with us across this state and any place else that Mary Alice had to be. She didn't care who district it was. If they call her about seniors and people with disabilities, she was there. She was a great woman. I'm telling you, she would call on me and say, Carter, did you see this? And oh yes, when we did the legislation around whether it was homeschooling, I mean, we would be here until 12 and 1. You guys don't know what it is to be in this building until 12 and 1 o'clock at night. And when we did helmets and the state police was here, Mary Alice Ford was leading the charge. She was scared of no one. She just didn't care. She showed all of us strength and character and courage, and she would very much hold up a banner. Yes, I am a Republican. I don't care what you are, but this is the issue. And she was very, very issue-focused, and all of us knew that. I'm telling you, the state is missing a great woman who did great things in this legislature, and there are many more stories that we can tell about Mary Alice that are both funny and that are very, very serious in nature in terms of her work. But never forget, there goes a woman of courage and conviction and who stood up for the rights of the most vulnerable in our society and would let you know in a minute that it doesn't matter. We are walking and standing on the shoulders of great women who came before us, and we should keep that legacy going. I shall miss her greatly. And Tom, I thank you for being there with your mom and for being a person of strong convictions and working on those things that she cared about. I appreciate seeing the daughter here today, because she would have to make Mary Alice realize that there were just some things that she couldn't do anymore, and that, yes, you did what you could do, and now we have to take care of you. And so, Mary Alice, rest in peace, and know that you did a good work here in Oregon.
Thank you, Senator Carter. I recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those of us who knew Mary Alice, whether we knew her in the legislative arena, but when I first knew her, I knew her from the executive branch arena. And Mary Alice, and I also knew her at the years of going to Dorchester. And everyone who's talked about Mary Alice knew that there's one thing about Mary Alice that I think we all agree. Partisanship was not a part of her makeup. And also a part of her was mentoring others, particularly other women, to encourage them to get engaged and involved in the process. Whether she was at Dorchester, whether she was in these marble halls, or even after she was no longer a legislator, coming back to visit with us, where she had a bill or something of importance. I still remember the podiatrist piece that she insisted that we forget about scope of practice. And that was Mary. And it's kind of interesting, because in those days we actually got together a lot more than we do now. We got together outside, and it wasn't about a Democrat or Republican. It was about issues, and it was about getting to know each other. And I think we all of those of us who were around then thoroughly appreciate her leadership, her mentoring, and most of all, her love and caring, not only for this institution, but for others.
Thank you, Senator Winters. It's for discussion. Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I served for a decade with Mary Alice Ford. She was my friend. I remember when she was first appointed to the seat over there in Washington County, she had been chair of the Washington County Republican Party, and I thought, boy, here comes another real partisan woman that we're going to have to deal with. You know, I couldn't have been more wrong. Mary Alice and I formed an alliance and a friendship. The alliance was around traffic safety issues, motorcycle helmets, seat belts, child restraints, anti-drunk driving laws, and so on. Mary Alice and I formed a team. We had press conferences together, and we stood up against our mutual foes together. Then I got to spend some time with her later when I was on the Metro Council and meetings in Washington County on economic development and so on. She was a great lady. I hope that when I'm gone from this earth, as she is, that I will have something close to the legacy that she has left, that people will say that I made a difference when I was on this globe, and that the world is a better place. This world is certainly a better place for Mary Alice Ford, having served in her many capacities. I will miss her as a friend. And I consider her a mentor. I will try to emulate the kind of courage that she had and the bipartisan approach to legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. Is there further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
Very briefly, Mr. President. Thank you so much, colleagues. And for those of you who spoke about Mary Alice, I think you can really understand what she meant to her community. In closing, I want to read a quote that Beaverton activist Elsie Stuhr wrote in the 1996 voters pamphlet about Mary Alice Ford. If all legislators worked as hard, cared as deeply, and achieved as much as Mary Alice Ford, we would not face so many problems. Colleagues, let's take those words to heart. Please join me in honoring Mary Alice Ford by voting aye on House Concurrent Resolution number 7. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now arises upon a third reading and the final passage of H.C.R. 7. Those of the opinion the bill shall pass will say aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will please call the roll.
Boquist. Aye. Burdick. Aye. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Walker, 29 ayes.
H.C.R. 7, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. The Senate has just paid its highest honor to the Honorable Mary Alice Ford. I came into the legislature at the same time Mary Alice came in, 1981. I served with her several sessions in the House. I liked her. I like talking with her. I like being around with her. I like debating her. She was unique, and she was special, and I can tell you that. And our sympathies and heartfelt condolences go out to her family and friends that are here and throughout the state of Oregon. She is missed. She was an extraordinary legislator, and so the Senate has just now acknowledged her life and times. And I want to thank Senator Bonamici for bringing us HCR 7 and for presenting the measure, as well as for my fellow senators to speaking about her. We're now on to propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, I move that SJR 19 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education and General Government.
Senator Jason Atkinson has moved that SJR 19 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education and General Government. To your motion.
Mr. President,
Let me explain where we're at. I need to do this, Senator Atkinson. A motion has been made to withdraw a bill from a committee. I have talked with the Secretary of the Senate. The motion has been properly made under proposition of motion. The version of the bill withdrawn is the same version that was referred to the committee. Any action taken by the committee while the bill was in the possession of the committee is not recognized. This motion will be debated after it's presented by Senator Atkinson, but the debate must be confined strictly to the purpose of the motion, not the merits of the bill. It is not in order to discuss the merits of SJR 19 upon a motion to withdraw from the committee. Debate in such cases must be confined strictly to the purpose of the motion, for if this were not true, Mrs. Mason, the merits of any question could be forced under discussion merely by making such a motion to withdraw. So what Senator Atkinson said, I'm now going to recognize him to discuss his motion and present his motion, which will be to simply withdraw this SJR 19 from the Senate Education and General Government Committee. So now, please, Senator Atkinson, to your motion, please.
Mr. President, thank you very much. And keeping very tightly with the rules of Mason, SJR 19, just for way of explanation, is the 81-day bill, the bill that forces this body to pass the K-12 budget within 81 days. It is a measure that I have had before this body for three sessions, and it has failed to get a hearing. This motion simply puts this before the entire Senate so that we can have an up or down vote on whether or not this body should pass the K-12 budget first by prioritizing and get that budget off of the table, so to speak. That's what the measure does. That's what the measure is. And the motion simply allows this body the opportunity to do what everybody says during campaign time, which is pass K through 12 first. So I would urge that we move by a yes vote, force this bill to the floor, which is SJR 19, and allow the Senate to vote on it.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Jeff Cruz. To the motion.
To the motion, Mr. President. I did sit on the committee where this bill was assigned. I won't speak to the action taken in committee because there was no action taken in committee. This is an appropriate thing for us to discuss, and the only way for us to discuss this issue is to bring it to this floor because we could not get a hearing on the bill. This is the one opportunity, Mr. President, we have to bring an issue to the body that was not heard in committee. Colleagues, certainty is what schools need. This would do that. I think it's time that we had that very, very robust discussion here on the floor to see if the body as a whole would have a different opinion than the committee had.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the motion which is now before us? Senator Atkinson, do you wish to close on your motion to withdraw?
Mr. President, I think this is a good motion, and it allows all of us the opportunity to do what we say we are going to do by prioritizing and putting K through 12 first. I would urge an aye vote.
And let me just also say now, again, referring to the rules, this motion requires 16 votes. 16 votes. So here we go. Those are the opinion that the motion to withdraw SJR 19 should be withdrawn from the Senate Educational Government Committee will vote aye as their names are called. Those are the opinion that the motion to withdraw SJR 19 from the Educational Government should not be withdrawn will vote no as their names are called. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Burdick. Carter.
Senator Carter.
Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney.
No.
Excused. Walker, voting no. Bates, Bonamici, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Haas, Johnson, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Berger, President Courtney. 12 ayes.
The motion has failed. Recognize Senator Devlin under propositions and motions.
Mr. President, it would be the preference of both leaders to go to caucus at this time before we get to the final proposition and motion.
Okay, then why don't you suggest what you want to do?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Mr. President, the Senate Republicans would like to join our colleagues across the aisle in requesting a caucus.
The Senate will go into recess until 11:05 a.m. The Senate is now in recess. Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette.
Where do they go?
Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum.
Okay. So I go to Haas and I
Schrader,
go to Schrader,
Starr, Telfer,
right.
Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Right off the bat, I'm going right to it.
Right.
So, Mark, I go to Haas. Senator Haas, I'm going to you right off the bat. Then I go to Senator Dingfelder next. Then I go to Senator Devlin. A quorum is now present. The Senate recessed under the order of propositions and motions and will resume under that order. It is so ordered. Without objection, I'm going to return to the order or go to the order of announcements. And since no one's listening, but this is official, I have concluded that sine die of the 2009 legislative session is imminent. Therefore, effective Friday, May 29th, which is tomorrow, I'm invoking a one-hour notice in accordance with Senate Rule 8.16. The committee chair may call a meeting of the committee with less than 48 hours notice if at least 1 hour to the meeting Notice is given to the Secretary of the Senate's office, posted outside the Senate chamber and in any other place reasonably designated and designed to give notice to the public and interested persons. So as of tomorrow, the Senate is officially going to 1 hour notice. Thank you, my fellow senators, for allowing me to make that announcement. We'll now return to the regular order of business, which is propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Mr. President, I move that H.J.M. 15 be referred to the Rules Committee.
Senator Hass moved that H.J.M. 15 be referred to the Rules Committee. To your motion.
Mr. President, it appears this memorial may need an amendment, and we want to look at that.
Discussion. All those in favor of moving H.J.M. 15 to the Rules Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, no. This motion is carried. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill 3090 be referred to the Rules Committee.
Senator Dingfelder has moved that House Bill 3090 be referred to the Rules Committee. To your motion.
Mr. President, there is more work that's going to be done on this bill.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. I support the motion. I arrived at my decision to support the motion using this manual self-correcting calculator, and I believe that this solar device referred to in this bill needs to be further explored in the depths of the Rules Committee. So I support this motion, Mr. President.
Is there other discussion on this motion? All those in favor referring House Bill 39 to the Rules Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 660.
Senator Devlin has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 660. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 660 allows state employees to request a payroll deduction for the purpose of making a donation to the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. The House added an emergency clause which will allow employees to immediately start making those donations. Good bill received a unanimous vote in the House with no members excused, was unanimous on the floor here with three members excused, and was unanimous out of your Rules Committee. And just to let you know that bills do actually move from the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. We're now in a discussion. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, out of an abundance of caution, I would like to renew my potential conflict of interest. I serve on the board of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation.
The potential conflict of interest, Senator Johnson, has been noted for the record. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, declare the same potential conflict of interest out of an abundance of caution. I do also serve on the Capitol Foundation, and I still think this is a good bill.
The potential conflict of interest, Senator Jason Atkinson, has now been placed on the record. Recognize Senator Joanne Verger.
Mr. President, I also am a new member of the Capitol Foundation, so I presume that I'm supposed to declare a conflict of interest.
Senator Joanne Verger's potential conflict of interest has now been placed on the record regarding House Senate Bill 660. Further discussion? Senator Devlin, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 660, will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder, Farrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 660, I've issued caution majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would request return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that we acknowledge a group from Franklin Elementary from Corvallis. They're fourth and fifth graders. They're in the gallery behind us. And
would ask that you extend courtesies to them this day, and we appreciate their presence in their capital. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Thank you. Recognize Franklin, the elementary school students. You are in the back, I guess. There you are. And I hope you're enjoying today in your state capital. It's always an honor and privilege to have students come visit with us. It perks us up and makes us feel good. So thank you for making us feel good, and we hope that you have a good day here in your state capital, and you'll come back and see us again. I'd like to extend an official courtesy to each and every one of you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, also under the order of courtesies, colleagues, many of you will recognize, if you look to the South Aisle, our old friend Chris from Legislative Council, but I don't want courtesies extended to him at all. I want courtesies extended to his son, who's sitting with Senator Carter, Colin, who's 8, and he's my new friend. And he and my son have a very great relationship with the same nurse. And so anyway, I want courtesies extended to Colin.
Thank you, Colin. We're pleased you could be here. And about your dad, too. So we're glad to see both of you. Hope you're having a good day in your state capital, Colin, okay? Senator Mark Carter will take good care of you. So it's a real privilege you're here. Thank you, Colin. Senator Carter, what you...
I was just saying you can turn mine off, but these are also my neighbors, too, Mr.
That's okay. For the courtesies? Okay, we'll now return to the regular order of the Senate business, and that's action of the executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation, induction, first reading of Senate measures, second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 563, interest due on late payments of property taxes.
Pass the counter, third reading of Senate measures. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2001, Road Transportation and Providing Revenue Raising requires approval by 3/5 majority, appropriating money in accordance with prescribing 50 days.
It's transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Joint Resolution 37, designating Dungeness Crab as official crustacean of Oregon. House Bill 5052, raising the State Management Administration and Property Money in accordance with emergency. House Bill 2233, on commercial driver training. House Bill 2252, on telecommunications in accordance with emergency. House Bill 2264, relating to civil actions for certain fraudulent conduct and property money. House Bill 2369, relating to motor vehicles. House Bill 2383, relating to facility sales and describing effective date. House Bill 2564, relating to motor vehicles. House Bill 2673, on sales and admission tickets for entertainment events. House Bill 2726, on judicial information for consumers in accordance emergency. House Bill 2817, relating to four-hour carriers in accordance emergency. House Bill 2910, relating to professional real estate activity conducted by a real estate licensee. House Bill 2950, relating to code compliance and discovery effective date. House Bill 2955, on retainage in connection with public improvement contracts. House Bill 2999, on pesticide use reporting system. House Bill 1385, relating to closure of manufactured building park in accordance emergency. House Bill 3151, relating to vehicle transfer. House Bill 3418, relating to reimbursement for health care delivered through an integrated health home model in accordance with emergency.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of House measures. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2664, the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission.
Recognize Senator Floyd Bozanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2664A comes out of your Judiciary Committee. It came out on a 4-0 vote. Basically, what this is going to do is allow the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to apply for and receive gifts, grants, or other type of awards. Mr. President, as you understand in this situation, there's a lot of grantor awards that can be applied for. Unfortunately, we're not here for their purposes to be able to give them authority when those opportunities arise. This will, in fact, give them the opportunity to go forward without approval to seek those grants or gifts or other type of awards. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you. Colleagues, I'm going to support this bill, but with some trepidation. There have been a proliferation of bills this session that accommodate third-party contributions, donations, and gifts to support Oregon programs. Colleagues, we must remain vigilant about the practice of soliciting and accepting money to support state initiatives. It is not a stretch to think that bias can creep into programs based on the source of financial support, or that we would change program focus in order to be successful grant recipients. And finally, there is no guarantee of continuing contributions. We may end up with programs with built-in constituencies and no funds if donations disappear or are reprioritized.
For the discussion. Senator Pazansky, you wish to close? Question I rise upon 30 and final passage of House Bill 2664. The opinion bill's passed. I suppose no clerk would call it.
Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Bill 2664, having some constant majority, clear play. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2705, implication of assistance for injured workers.
Recognized Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2705 modifies circumstances that require the insurer or self-insured employer to contact an injured worker for evaluation of eligibility for vocational assistance. Right now, when a worker hasn't returned to their regular employment, is the only verbiage in the bill. It adds, when the employee has not returned to other suitable employment or has not been released from their regular employment. It comes out of the Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Discussion. First now rise by 30 and final passage of House Bill 2705. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. I suppose no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonds-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2705, having received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2778, Interstate Workers Declare Emergency.
Recognized Senator Floyd Przonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2705 comes out of your Commerce and Workforce Development Committee. It came out on a 4-0 vote. Excuse me. It's 2778B. Came out of your Commerce and Workforce Development. That bill came out on a 4-0 vote, and basically what this is going to do is allow the Oregon Department of Administrative Services to adopt processes of identifying and entering the level of light-duty assignments for injured state workers that are employed by the executive or the administrative branches of departments within the state. This does establish an emergency, and so it will, in fact, go into effect on July 1 of this year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise by 30 and final passage of House Bill 2778. Those opinion bills passed. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonds-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Devlin.
Dingfelder. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. George.
Go on. No excuse.
Absent. George. 20 ayes.
House Bill 2778. Emerson Constant Majority declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2809. Urban Renewal Plans and Describing Effective Date.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2809B, which comes from the Committee on Finance and Revenue with unanimous support from our committee. The bill will offer an option for municipalities to convert an urban renewal plan from a standard property tax rate plan to a reduced property tax rate plan for consolidated billing rate purposes. Thereby, it allows certain municipalities to irrevocably convert an urban renewal plan from a standard property tax rate plan to a reduced property tax plan and takes effect 91st day following sine die. Bill passed unanimously. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question on rise by 30 and final passage. House Bill 2809. All those opinion bills passed. All those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. George. Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munns Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Star, 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2809, having some constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2822, Relating to Ways and Necessities for Private Sewer Lines.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, today I bring you House Bill 2822 from your Senate Education and General Government Committee. This bill fixes a problem created by sewer connections that traverse a neighbor's property in order to connect to the main sewer. The connections are sometimes called party line sewers and are a remnant from Oregon's early days of property divisions and infrastructure build-out. In many cases, these shared sewer connections have existed for decades without the knowledge of the affected property owners. Property owners often do not receive notice of these lines until the line fails or are discovered during a due diligence inspection conducted in anticipation of a property sale. At that point, the options are limited. Either negotiate an easement with your neighbor or pay upwards of $50,000 for an emergency sewer extension. Unfortunately, many homeowners who are dependent upon these connections have been placed in the untenable position of facing the loss of use of their property. Communities from Oregon's largest city all the way to the Rogue Valley have experienced an increase in these types of cases in recent years. In order to address this problem, House Bill 2822 provides for a temporary way of necessity for shared sewer connections. A way of necessity is a legal tool that is available under current law for transportation or utility access for landlocked properties. This bill expands this concept to sewer access subject to certain conditions. Fair compensation must be paid for this access, and the access will not be approved when there is permitted development. Colleagues, this bill moved out of committee without objection. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion. Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you. Very briefly, Mr. President, I just want to share with you my own experience of a party sewer, and I can tell you that when you're on a party sewer, it's not a party that you want to be invited to. Having discovered that we were on a party sewer without even knowing that, and then having to inform our neighbors that our line had broken and that now we had to disconnect and we had to bear the expense of that, this bill is crucial to my district, where there are lots of these older properties that have these old clay pipes. So I would just urge your support for the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. Further discussion? Senator Morris, do you wish to close? Question not right upon third reading, final passage, House Bill 2822. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, the clerk will call the roll.
Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munns Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Brzezinski, 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2822. Those many bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Excuse me. House Bill 2822, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2883, Relating to Protective Proceedings Task Force and Declaring Emergency.
Recognize Senator Bill Marsette.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2883 comes from the committee comes from the House with a 59-0 passage, and what the bill does is creates an 11-member public guardian conservator task force. The task force is charged with studying and preparing recommendations for a public guardian and conservator system or services in Oregon. The bill requires a task force to provide a detailed cost assessment for the implementation of its recommendation, and the bill sunsets on the date of the convening of the next regular session. The bill comes to you from a committee which I serve on, which is the Governor's Commission on Senior Services. It's very highly recommended by AARP. In 1971, the legislature created a public conservator, guardian and conservator statute. This enabling statute was subsequently enacted only in two counties, Multnomah, which continues today, and Jackson County, which I assume continues. In the four decades since 1971, several attempts have been made to implement, but have not been successful. People who can afford it can have this service provided for or provide it themselves, but we're concerned here with the senior and disabled individuals who cannot afford it. And the purpose of this task force is to search for reasonable programs that can be implemented during the next session. This is does not have a fiscal. There are funds donated to carry this program through the biennium. So it's a very good bill. It's something that should have been implemented more widely in 1971. It hasn't been, and so this is an opportunity to move forward on this. So I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question arises upon further reading the final passage of House Bill 2883. Those opinion bills passed the aisle. I suppose no clerk would call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Bates and Bates.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney.
He's a yes.
Burdick. Excuse. Przonski, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2883. I'm seeing Councilman George third pass. Since you may be listening to me now and not later, this is the plan. We're coming in at 10:45 tomorrow morning. It's Friday morning. We'll take up the transportation package, and then we're going to hope to run the calendar, and we're going to go until we finish, which means the noon hour will be here, and then we're not coming in Saturday. So that's the deal. Now, if I made a mistake, leaders of leaders on the floor, you better tell me. So the idea is to come in at 10:45, and we're going to move until we finish the calendar, which means through the noon hour. That's my understanding, looking at the individuals in the back here, that I'm not making a mistake in terms of conflicts. So you need to get to me before the end of this day if I've made a mistake. So that's what the intention is. With that, will the clerk read the bill?
House Bill 2907, Interstate Agreements Concerning Prevailing Rates of Wages and Declaring Emergency.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2907 simply clarifies that contracting agencies cannot enter into agreements with adjoining states which pay less than the Oregon prevailing wage on public projects or the portion of a public project that is within the state of Oregon. As an example, on a bridge crossing state boundary lines, current statute may allow an agreement between states to pay less than Oregon's prevailing wage rate. This bill will be consistent with other statute provisions, making sure that workers are not paid less. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2907.
Discussion. Question arises by 30 and final passage of House Bill 2907. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger. Walker. Whitsett.
Senator Whitsett.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Whitsett. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2907. Absent Council Majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2952. In small-scale local energy projects.
Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill, House Bill 2952, fixes a technical glitch that was uncovered on air permitting statutes. If a company wishes to construct a new air facility in some areas of the state, they must get what's called an offset. An offset is when a facility pays for something, some other facility pays for some other facility to reduce its emissions by more than the amount the new facility would add. So adding the new facility actually makes the air better. However, if the proposed facility is remote, there may be no source near them where they can pay to reduce the emissions needed to get the offset, so they are unable to get the permit. What this bill does is it allows those remote areas to get reductions from sources that are further away, but still give the same DEQ-designated area, perhaps just over a ridge, so that they can get the offsets to build. Small bill, good bill. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion. Question arises by third reading, final passage of House Bill 2952. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters.
Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2952, absent Council Majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3097, emergency medical personnel.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I've now been told that Senator Cruz. That's right. My mistake. We have moved that to a committee. It's done. So, recognize Senator Jeff Cruz. 3090 went to the Rules Committee by your great motion moved it to the Rules Committee. We did that, and so now, Mr. Cruz, speak to us.
So we're okay?
Yeah, we're all right.
We're
now.
Okay. Mr. President, House Bill 3097 requires the Department of Human Services to adopt administrative rules that take into account experience in lieu of education for emergency medical technicians applying for certification by endorsement. Colleagues, this will help us get more EMTs in rural Oregon. It's a good bill. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question arises by third reading, final passage of House Bill 3097. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr.
I screwed up.
Telfer.
I did.
Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Walker, 29 ayes.
House Bill 3097, members of the Council of Majority declare passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3103, when related practice pharmacy.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. House Bill 3103 updates statutes regulating pharmacies and pharmacists. The most important aspect of this is the fact that for a doctor to want a prescription with no substitution under current law, he has to sign that. As we move to a system of electronic prescriptions, the signature isn't a valid way to do it, so this allows for an alternative way to still do no substitution on an electronic prescription. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise upon 30 to final passage, House Bill 3103. Those opinion bills pass. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Moss Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The House Bill 3103, having the Council majority declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3117, rule on post-secondary education programs.
Recognize Senator Laurie Moniz Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I urge everyone to vote for House Bill 3117. Basically, when a community college plans to offer a new program or an existing program in a new location, the college must notify all for-profit schools offering a similar program that could be affected. Well, the longest adverse impact process lasts about a year. What House Bill 3117 does, it through the consultation with the Northwest Career College Federation, basically they came up with it creates an expedited approval process in which for-profit colleges and a community college may meet to discuss collaboration, articulation agreement, and other areas of concerns or possible accommodation. The expedited process outlined in House Bill 3117 applies only to career pathway certificates of completion, which are pieces of programs that have already been approved through the full adverse impact process. So students will not be enrolling in individual chunks. This program is designed for students committing to the full degree program of which these certificates of completion recognize partial accomplishment. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of House Bill 3117, but I need to make sure we get some clarification. I like the provisions of the bill that allow community colleges to create certification programs for clear career pathways that are part of a larger program, but only if the overarching program has been through the adverse impact process described in ORS 348-603 sub 2. This particular statute spells out a procedure to protect private vocational schools, which is much more comprehensive than anything that existed prior to its enactment. I believe that the intent of this bill is that career pathways that are within programs that predate that statute and therefore have not been through that process through the process described by this specific statute would not be eligible for the expedited process allowed under this bill. And I'm specifically talking, one of the programs talking about is the cosmetology program near Mount Hood. This offers a balance for community colleges and private career colleges that seems fair, and I urge an aye vote on House Bill 3117. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Moss, do you wish to close? Question on rise upon 30, read 5, House Bill 3117. Those opinion bills must pass. I suppose that's what we call the roll.
Monroe. Okay. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters. Voting no. Voting no. Atkinson, Gerard, Cruz, 27 ayes.
House Bill 3117, which is cost of majority declared passed. Court reads bill.
House Bill 3140, with unemployment insurance benefits, court emergency.
Second eye, Senator Floyd, present.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, 3148 came out of your Commerce and Workforce Development Committee. Came out on a 4-0 vote. Basically, what this bill is going to do will extend the maximum amount of weeks that a person can be qualified as a qualified worker to receive work share unemployment compensation benefits, basically from 26 to 52 months. It does, in fact, have an emergency clause because of the need to make certain those who are suffering and who need to have some economic assistance can get it sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise by 30 to final passage, House Bill 3140. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call it.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney.
Eight yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 3140, Amherst Council, George, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3162, with an unemployment discrimination from resulting from whistleblowing.
Recognize Senator Floyd, Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 3162A from the Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. It seems to be the day for bills from our committee. And this is a great bill which extends the protection of Oregon's current whistleblower statute to private sector employees. Currently, government employees have this protection if they are complaining about a violation of the law, whether state or federal law. They are protected from retaliation for doing that. But if private sector employees do the same thing, they do not have such a protection. We heard testimony in our committee from people who, for instance, worked for a car dealer and complained about unfair trade practices, which were used in a sales promotion, and as a result, basically were terminated from their job. Or in another case, somebody who worked for a caterer as a banquet captain had fellow coworkers who were drinking on the job. That's a violation of Oregon liquor control statutes, and when this person complained about that, he too was fired. That is not good for not only those workers, but for their employers, because you want those situations to be corrected without the person having to file a complaint through official channels. Right now, that is not happening. So this bill, House Bill 3162, will correct that. It's a bill that's good for workers, good for employers, and ultimately good for the citizens of Oregon. Passed our committee unanimously, and I urge your support as well.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question now rises by 30 and final passage of House Bill 3162. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morris. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett, Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
aye.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Hass,
aye.
Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Juan Anderson, Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Ferrioli, Girard, Cruz, Whitsett. 26 ayes.
House Bill 3162, I've received caution majority declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 3194, then Drive on Vince Hodkins.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3194 comes to you from out of your Judiciary Committee on a 4-0 vote. This is a bill that will include prior juvenile adjudications into the driving under the influence as a predicate for felony driving under the influence. Mr. President, what happens is now these young people that are going through the juvenile system, if they're adjudicated, the system is set up where it doesn't count against them as you would count as an adult having a conviction for driving under the influence of intoxicants. This will, in fact, make certain that these young people, if they continue this type of conduct, that that predicate will be able to be reached based on an adjudication in the juvenile court that they have, in fact, been convicted, or not convicted, have been held under the driving under the influence. So in the future, when they become adults, they will, in fact, have those prior juvenile DUIs held against them, just like an adult would if it was a conviction. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question now rises upon 35 passage of House Bill 3194. This opinion bill is passed. Say aye. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
House Bill 3194, Chief Counsel Joy, is cleared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3345, Workers' Compensation Claims.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 3345A from the Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. First, a little background. This is a consensus bill to correct inequities in our current workers' compensation system. As you all know, our system has been extremely successful since its restructuring that began in the mid-1990s. We have one of the most cost-effective and stable systems in the country, and it's become a national model. However, our system is threatened by an aging and shrinking claimants bar, that is, lawyers who represent injured workers, while the defense lawyers remain ample. This has caused injured workers in Oregon to have an increasingly difficult time finding somebody to represent them in this maze and complicated system when they're most vulnerable. As a result of this problem, the Management Labor Advisory Committee formed a subcommittee to explore the areas in which claimants' attorneys were not being paid for the work they do for injured workers. So this bill allows for compensation in three places where attorneys are now working for free. It also raises the current maximum limits on three other fees and adjusts them for inflation so that the bill will keep up with economic realities. Specifically, the bill adjusts the maximum amount of the fee that applies that is currently $2,000, raises that amount to $3,000, and then adjusts it annually for the average weekly wage. It makes a similar change to attorney fees regarding certain medical services or vocational rehabilitation. It also requires the Management Labor Committee to review the effects of these changes and report to the legislature by January 1st of 2015. Colleagues, it passed the Commerce Committee unanimously with one member excused, and I urge your support as well.
Thank you. Further discussion? Motion to rise by 30 in the final passage of House Bill 3345. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Burdick.
I don't know. Wait, go ahead. She voted. Here she is.
Voting no. Atkinson. Ferrioli. Gerard. Cruz. Whitsett. 25 ayes.
House Bill 3345. Mr. Councilman George Floyd passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3470, written Veterans and Subscriber Effective Date.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. House Bill 3470 defines the term veterans for purposes of Section 3, Article 11A of the Oregon Constitution, and also specifies that this only takes effect if House Joint Resolution 7 is passed by the voters. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Mr. Carson. Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3470. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker.
Did a Walker? Go ahead.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, President Courtney. President Courtney. Excuse, Przonski, 29 ayes.
The House Bill 3470, Mr. Cosmo George, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Storm Resolution 12, excluding public measures to use incident skin cancer.
I got an aye, Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. HJR 12 will actually encourage Oregonians to take measures to prevent skin cancer. Dr. Abigail Haberman, who's a dermatologist in Senator Morris's district, expressed her concern with the prevalence of skin cancer that she has seen in her practice, particularly among young women who had previously used indoor tanning facilities. There are huge medical risks associated with indoor tanning. In 2008, an estimated 1,000 Oregonians were diagnosed with skin cancer. And the Center for Disease Control has identified Oregon in the top tier for skin cancer incidence. Indoor tanning beds use among young women is contributing to melanoma diagnoses in Oregon. Unfortunately, Oregonians can prevent melanoma by wearing sunscreen and avoiding indoor tanning facilities. I encourage and I vote on HJR 12 to raise awareness about skin cancer and the dangers of indoor tanning. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Starr. This ought to be
thank
good.
You, Mr. President. I declare a potential conflict of interest as someone who loves the sun, and at virtually any time I can get in the sun, I stand in the sun, I sit in the sun, I enjoy the sunshine, and I just find it interesting that we have private enterprise all over the state of Oregon that encourages folks to tan, and I just think that this is an unnecessary resolution that does very little. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. As one who actually, because of medical reasons, should not have the sun, which may come to as a surprise to individuals, and who before having this medical condition did not know that the sun was my enemy. And so if you see me with my hats on, and I wear sunscreen up to 70 in order to survive the sun, And so education, I think, is a good thing because some of us do walk around not knowing that the sun and the ultraviolet rays are not very helpful to us, as well as I wouldn't do a tanning bed. And so my melanoma in my skin is so sensitive that me and the sun do not get along. And I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Monica Anderson, you wish to close? Question on rise upon 30 and final passage of H.J.R. 12. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick.
And a verdict? Go on.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson.
Senator Monis Anderson. Senator Monis Anderson, it's your bill.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Brzezinski. Voting no. Atkinson. George. Starr. Whitsett. 23 ayes.
H.J.R. 12. Having received the custody of the majority, is declared passed. Without objection, I will carry the remaining House measures over till Friday, May 29th calendar, which is tomorrow, and it is so ordered. Other business of the Senate, according to the SR 8.403 committee referral list number 122, was distributed to members on May 27th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and is so ordered. Under announcements, Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans have a caucus immediately following the floor session in which I will encourage them to take their vitamins, wear their overshoes, wash their hands frequently, and other important things.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will encourage my colleagues, because it takes no encouragement to stay out of the sun for the next month. And we have a caucus in 15 minutes.
Thank
we'll
you.
Start promptly at 12:15 in our caucus room.
Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent to suspend the rules. Allow me to vote on House Bill 2778, which I missed earlier. Will not change the outcome.
Senator Larry George asks for unanimous consent to suspend the rules. Allow him to enter his vote on House Bill 2778. It will not change the outcome. Are there any objections? Seeing no objections, how do you vote?
Aye.
So George, Larry George has voted aye on House Bill 2778. Are there further announcements? Again, tomorrow we come in at 10:45 tomorrow to work through the noon hour, if need be, to complete our calendar, please. We do not have a fourth session on Saturday. No fourth session on Saturday. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, excuse me, recognize Senator Mark Haas, please.
Hold on a second. I'd like to, Mr. President, vote on that last bill.
All right, then you're going to have, all right, what is the last bill?
It was H.R. 12.
Senator Haas has requested unanimous consent to suspend the rules, allow him to enter his vote.
Mr. President, that's okay, I'm covered.
You've been recorded as voting, I guess. That's, I've just been told by the Secretary of the Senate staff. Okay?
Yes.
So you don't need to do anything?
Right.
So what were you doing? So, all right. If there's no further announcement, this Senate is adjourned right now, quick, until 10:45 tomorrow on Friday, May 29th. Senate is adjourned.